As far as I can tell, there are a few rules about having friends. One of them is when you say, friends don't let friends blank, like don't drink and drive, or don't let them do stupid things, or don't let them read Ken Follett novels. It's for their own good. But you can't actually do that, because there's also a taboo that says you can't tell friends what to do or not do. A few years ago, I had some suggestions for a friend about how he could manage his rather persistent son. I know, another taboo. Don't interfere with other people's parenting. So instead of telling my friend how he should parent, I teased him a bit about how he should learn some self-defense techniques for when his son lost his temper. Those toddler punches and shin kicks can be painful. I thought it was pretty funny. Well, my friend didn't think I was that funny. He was pretty ticked off. In that very instant, even while knowing I was, of course, hilariously funny, I was also struck by the clear possibility that our friendship could be over right then. I was genuinely worried that I'd burned a bridge. I apologized later that day, and it was okay. We're still friends. We get our families together and catch up while cooking or watching the kids. We talk about parenting and being husbands and about our relationships with our own fathers. We debrief situations. Here's how I thought I did it right. Here's how I screwed up. There's sharing of opinions, but not judgment. There's also, it seems, no hurry. We talk about emotions and behavior, anger being a pretty common theme, ready to explode up through the ice at unfortunate times. We talk about breaking that cycle. My friend thinks well of me, and he knows that I think well of him. Trusting that, I can show my friend how I don't know how to do everything, and I feel out of my depth sometimes. We're not friends primarily because we help each other to learn and grow. We're friends because we have better things to do than compete or complain. We get our families together and we hang out and talk about stuff, but there's something else. Among my friends, the difference between buddies and friends is that buddies engage in recreation, and friends are people with whom I've learned something or worked together on something difficult. For me, while I'm putting all my attention into learning or building or fixing something, I'm too focused to act cool. My guard's down in front of my friends. I guess dropping that protective mask is good for friendships. Yeah, I might screw up when I risk dropping that mask, but a friend will help me get back on track. After all, he knows that I'd do the same for him.
Life can be hard. Bad things happen. Sometimes, even when nothing tragic happens, we still struggle just to get through our days. Australia-based researcher Dr. Paula Barrett points out that, quote, in most countries, 1 in 5 people experience severe anxiety or depression throughout their lifetime. This means that most families have at least one person who experiences severe anxiety or depression. She notes that high-risk times are often times of transition: adolescence, becoming a parent, menopause, retirement. Whether transition or tragedy, friends can help us get through hard times. I read that a century ago, the Irish storyteller Peg Sayers lived on the bleak Blasket Islands, where the wind was so strong that even the trees were unable to survive. Someone asked her, "How can you live in a place like this?" She responded, "It is in the shelter of each other that the people live." So it is. And research has shown what most of us know to intuitively be true: friendship supports resilience. As psychiatrist Dr. Aparna Iyer reports, studies show that those with strong friendships are far more resilient in many settings, whether dealing with difficult work situations, serious medical illnesses, or even the loss of a loved one. The stronger the relationships, the greater the resilience. Furthermore, quality matters more than quantity. Just one good quality friendship can make the difference. One project that studied friendship and resiliency over the course of a year noted that it doesn't even have to be the same friendship over time. You could have one good friend for the first part of the year and a different good friend for the other part of the year and still show that boost in resilience. So that's what the psychosocial research says. It makes sense to me theologically and spiritually as well. Perhaps you remember that in the fall, when I spoke about Prothero's theory, he says that each religion has a different take on the problem with the human condition, and each has a correspondingly different approach to that problem. And recall the proposition that Unitarian Universalism suggests that humanity's primary ailment is disconnection from deepest self, from others, from the web of life. The spiritual antidote, then, is connection. In this way, nurturing friendships can be seen as a spiritual practice. I think it's true for me. When I don't have a firm grasp on my own resilience, it has been my friends that have held me in the web. When I was a kid, commiserating with peers about the complications of divorced families and mean step-parents. When I was a 24-year-old sinking into a depression through which two friends held me aloft with a ritual of Monday night dinner and TV. Or even now, when I've just had a rotten day, I can reach out with a text, and the heart emojis that I receive in response sustain me. My friends don't fix the thing about which I am despairing, but they help me all the same. They help me feel connected, held in that web of life, and that strengthens my resilience, my ability to get through it. I've invested in friendships all my life. My mother used to marvel at how much time I would spend with friends on the phone, hanging out at each other's homes, staying up late and talking at sleepovers, and when we were apart, writing letters, real paper with stamps. Reams and reams of letters. One of the reasons I chose Shauna as my spouse is that she too invested in and prioritized friendships. Our wedding wasn't huge, but I remember how moved I was that so many of our people who lived far away made the trek to be there. All those blessed souls who had supported each of us through thick and thin as individuals, showing up to support our marriage. We now have on the walls of our home a photo of everyone who was there and a covenant they all signed. It's a daily reminder of the people who form the web that holds us. When things get hard, I really need that reminder. If you did a little mental review of your own life journey, who are the people that you would consider your most significant friends? What names or faces pop into your head? If it's easier, try to focus on one or two. What drew you to them? What do you look for in a friend? When I think of the friends to whom I am drawn, I notice some common factors. My best friend from grade one, for example, has always been authentic. She never fakes anything or puts on airs. There is not a snobby bone in her body. You can let down your guard around her and just be yourself. One of my best friends now is similarly non-judgmental. I remember when I was first getting to know her, I learned that she was a strict vegan and passionate about animal rights. I felt a bit guilty about the fact that I still ate meat, not to mention dairy, but that was all me. My friend somehow managed to express her veganism as such a personal choice that she made non-vegans feel completely comfortable around her. No judgment at all. So I seek friends who are authentic and non-judgmental. I also tend to gravitate toward people who can talk about feelings and who like to dig into analysis. Relationships, family dynamics, parenting, we puzzle through it all together. Even when the puzzles are impossible and there is no solution, there's something that happens in the simple act of bearing witness to one another's stories. Like the rabbit, we listen. We accompany one another through it. And even when we are not in one another's presence, we carry one another around with us. I carry my friends and their struggles in my heart. They carry mine. The threads of the web that hold us feel stronger. So what about you? What qualities do you seek in a friend? In a moment, I'm going to do that thing where I invite you to share with your neighbor. Not yet. And this is what you're going to discuss. I'm going to invite you to describe a particular friend. Just pick one friend, any friend, and share what you appreciate about them. Some instructions first. When you pair up, please look around you so that no one is left out. If the seating doesn't set you up in a pair, come to the aisles as you are able to connect with others who need a pair. Ushers and greeters can help you find each other. If you cannot hear well in ambient noise, ask Margo's there, or Molly's there. You guys can come forward now, actually, to see if anybody needs this. Who have pencil and paper so your partner can write down their answer for you to read. Remember, it's not the person who has a hard time hearing that writes. It's you, the partner, who writes, right? The activity is, of course, optional, but I invite you to consider listening to someone else share, even if you have nothing to share yourself. We will give it about 3 minutes. Go. Done. Okay, so here's a follow-up question for you to consider on your own, in your own mind. In what ways have you been a good friend to others? That is, what qualities do you have that make you a good friend? Right now, try to mentally, in your own head, list three. Three things about yourself that make you a good friend. Thank you for whatever gifts you offer that help weave the web that holds us all. So friendships can sustain us. What does it take to sustain friendships? While it is true that quality is more important than quantity, it can be problematic to expect that just one friend can be everything. I remember reading this about spouses a long time ago, that we often expect our spouse to be everything, housemate, lover, co-parent, but also workout buddy, theater and event escort, therapist, financial consultant, fashion consultant, cheerleader when things go wrong at work, cooking companion, masseuse, and so on. What's wrong with that? Somebody said, what's wrong with that? The message was, that's too much to put on one person. One person can't meet all of your needs. It's better to spread it out. The same is true with friends. Different people can fill different roles. So you might have the friend you turn to for empathy when you're sad, the friend you consult for advice, the sports playing friend, the one who accompanies you to the movies, the one who's good for deep, serious conversations, and the one who's just a lot of fun. I remember realizing the benefit of multiple friends when I was in grade school. I noticed that when I spent days on end with one friend, we could get on each other's nerves. It wasn't that the friendship was falling apart. When we took a break and spent time with other people, we could then come back together again with mutual appreciation. Which brings up a second key to sustaining friendships. In good friendships, we accept one another's limitations. You know how this goes. You might have the friend who sometimes talks too much, but is very warm-hearted. Or the friend who's always late, so you tell them the party starts 30 minutes earlier than it actually does. Or the friend who can be a bit opinionated. I know I bring my own rough edges to my friendships. But for the most part, my friends accept me anyway. Sometimes with an eye roll, but often with a grin of affection as well. We are human. We are flawed. In a robust friendship, we hold one another in love, flaws and all. A third key to sustaining friendships is a willingness to work through the bumpy patches. Morgan's reflection gave us a good example of that. Maybe you have had a similar experience. You say or do something that hurts or offends. Your friend is upset. Things are tense. You apologize. They forgive. Or maybe the tables are turned and you're the one who forgives. Or maybe apologies and forgiveness is needed on both sides. In any case, you work it out. You get through the bumpy patches. So what does it take to sustain friendships? Cultivating multiple relationships as to not put too much pressure on any one person. Accepting friends' limitations. A willingness to work through the bumpy patches. The other key factor is time. I wonder how many of you feel like you have enough time for your friends these days. And I wonder the extent to which life stages affect that answer. As I mentioned, I used to invest an enormous amount of time in nurturing my friendships. Even when I had my first full-time job, my first ministry serving at a church in California, I still invested all of my free time in friendships. But then, what happened? I got married, I moved across the country, I had a baby. I remember those early days of parenthood. It was like free time ceased to exist. In a sleep-deprived stupor, I spent every waking hour serving the needs of the tiny human in my care. I remember trying to connect with long-distance friends on the phone and finding that I could not manage to sustain a conversation for more than 5 minutes without being interrupted. I remember complaining to my mother that I felt like I was being a bad friend. She pointed out to me that it would not always be this way. This was a phase, she said. I had put lots of time into my friendships before. I wasn't able to do as much now, but I would again. I appreciated the perspective, and it did get better. Kids get older, things shift. But now it's a different mix. And I feel like a lot of my peers grapple with this too. I know all of these people who are working full-time and parenting, and it's all they can do to tend to those two priorities, work and family. Fitting in friends is tough. I have in my head that it might get better when kids move out or when we retire, but I look at how busy some of you retired people are, and I'm not sure. Maybe it's our culture of urgency and busy, busy, busy. We must always be productive. In this context, carving out time to just hang out with friends could be a countercultural move. So for some people, it can be a challenge to find time for current friends. Making new friends can also be a challenge. I've heard so many people who say they moved to Victoria say a year ago or 3 years ago or 5 years ago or more, and they are still having a hard time making meaningful connections here. The culture of busyness doesn't help. It also just takes so much energy. I remember doing this every time I moved to a new town in which I knew no one. You have to cast the net wide. Keep trying. Keep attending events and seeking out groups. Keep meeting folks who don't quite fit or don't have enough time. And then eventually, after many castings of the net, you find a few who do fit. But it takes a lot of work, especially if you're an introvert. There are tons of articles out there on this, how to make friends as an adult, and lots of articles on how hard it is. I read one that said that one of the biggest hurdles to creating meaningful friendships is simply that people who are socially isolated tend to engage in behaviors that keep them socially isolated, even if they wish they could socialize more. As we withdraw further from our friends, we tend to increasingly view others negatively, even those with the kindest intentions, and this results in a vicious cycle that ultimately makes us feel even more isolated. I remember speaking to a young child who declared that she only wanted to hang out with a friend she already knew. She never wanted to meet any new people ever. Her parent tried to point out that every single one of her friends was once a new person, that to make friends, you have to stretch yourself to turn a new person into a friend. Which is, of course, true, but I understand that's child's resistance. All that casting the net wide, the constant reaching out, it takes energy and perseverance. If you are investing in that practice, it is good to pad it with lots of self-care as well, doing things that energize you or bring you comfort. I've posted articles on our Facebook group, one with tips on how to reach out and make new friends as an adult, another with tips on how to nurture friendships you have. I'm guessing you all have ideas about how to do both. For now, I'll just say that church is a good place to try both as well. If you're relatively new, you might consider attending the Exploring Membership session with Reverend Shauna from noon to 2 today. It will include an overview of the many ways you can make connections here. There's the meditation group, the song circle, the environmental action team, community dinners, and much more. Another idea, they say that one of the best ways to make a friend is to be a friend. Each of our neighborhood groups has a care and concern contact person. You could ask that person who in your neighborhood group might appreciate a visit, or who might be new and would appreciate a welcome call. If you prefer to make connections while doing a task, you could sign up to be a greeter or an usher or one of the coffee crew. If you'd like to make connections with some younger folks, ask Aaron about the various roles in our kids program. One of them is the simple and delightful task of holding babies. I'll just highlight one more program. One of the articles on friendship and resilience pointed out that caregivers can be especially socially isolated. People who are caring for parents or spouses or adult children. If you are a caregiver of any kind, you are warmly invited to attend a special program presented by Family Caregivers of BC at our church on Saturday, February 29th from 10 to noon. Sign up with Barbara Boyle. Barbara, can you wave? There's Barbara. So if friendship is a spiritual practice, what is your next step? What do you want to do to invest in the relationships that build your resilience? What can you do to strengthen the web of care that holds us all? Is there a friend to whom you'd like to reach out? Can you find a way to do it even if you're busy? Do you need to take another step in casting that net wide to meet new people? Do you know anyone who's having a hard time? Can you be the rabbit who listened? May we tend to one another with gentle care in whatever way we are able. May we thus strengthen the web of life that holds us all. So may it be. Please rise in body or spirit.